This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, it's Tony Bruschi, and this is our Week in Review. Over the weekend, taking a look back at some of the most compelling conversations and stories that we've covered for you of the last week. Brand new episodes back Monday morning, bright and early, 5 a.m. here on the podcast.
Murder in the Morning from the Hidden Killers Podcast.
This is a case that we have been following from the beginning. It's actually the case that started all of this that we do here. It's the case of the Idaho four that were murdered, the four college students brutally murdered late last year in their residence in Moscow, Idaho. Brian Koberger is the accused murderer. Lots and lots of damning evidence against him. Something that's interesting about this case is that in the last couple of days, there has been a little bit of a change in terms of what's going to be going on. There was originally a preliminary hearing set for June 26th because he waived his rights to a speedy trial. Had he not waived those rights early on, there would have been a preliminary hearing like months ago. He waived it. Well, at the same point, the prosecution and the state said, you know what? I don't think we necessarily need to do that preliminary hearing, which a preliminary hearing is like a mini trial, if you will. It's where both sides come out and present their case in kind of a minimized version, if you will, fun size. Although fun is never a fun size.
Mm-mm.
And that's not going to happen anymore. A grand jury was convened, and now, coming up on the 22nd, which is Monday, May 22nd, there will be an arraignment for Brian Koberger where the charges will be laid out in front of him. The state's going to say, you know, here's what we got against you. What do you plead? And this is where we're going to hear, you know, guilty, not guilty, or no contest. There is no insanity defense. And I don't think he could, you know, pass for any sort of insanity defense whatsoever in this. But he's still saying, you know, hoping to be exonerated, been lawyering up quite a bit in the last couple of weeks. But all this moving much faster. And I have to say, I'm happy that this is going to be taking place and we're going to get this ball rolling rather than waiting into June to have this all go down. This is a case I know I've been, you know, in depth with it from day one. What are your thoughts on this speeding up a little bit to make this process go? Because it's been stalled for quite some time.
Well, let me throw a little wrench into it. isn't there some conspiracy theory of sorts that there is a second person out there?
Well, I mean, yeah, there is, but it's based on comments that he made when he was arrested. He said, "Is there anyone else that's been arrested?" And
okay,
some people are speculating and wondering, and I don't do a lot of that on the show, but the speculation I think that could be read into that also was like, did they arrest his parents as well? Because did they know something? I don't know. I really don't think his parents knew anything. I think that Koberger was very much 100% in on this himself and was trying to hide quite a bit. I just don't see them. I don't see them playing the role as what we're assuming the Petito family, or not the not Petito's family, but the Laundry family was playing in terms of, you know, kind of aiding and abetting or hiding a criminal, allegedly.
Yeah. I'm just wondering if they are trying to get this to move forward before there's more evidence presented that there was a second person involved in this in some way. So that's kind of me trying to throw a little wrench into it. Do they want to get this moved along so that they can get him convicted and move on to the second one without involving the second one in this trial, if that makes sense?
That's an interesting way. I don't know. There has been a lot of people that are close to this case who've made comments about it to media that have said this goes far deeper than any of you really believe or know. And that makes us kind of go, huh? Because there's a lot of twists and turns in this thing. Like, really? How much deeper and weirder can it get? But I think we're about to find out very soon. We got a caller that wants to weigh in on this case. And you, of course, are welcome to weigh in as well. Our phone number, if you want to call in anytime, is 888-554-5537. 888-5-KILLER. Let's hear your thoughts.
Hey, Brian. This is Jamie from Atlanta. I was thinking about Brian Koberger and how he obviously thought he was smarter than women and had a great distaste for them. And with him being the, you know, the grading of his students, he seemed to grade the women harder and harsher than he did his male students. And I'm just wondering how this is going to play out, having two female lawyers and a female judge on his case. I can only imagine that he doesn't like it, and he's going to feel far superior to those women on his case. And I can only just love to see how he's writhing and feeling better than them in that courtroom. Would love to hear your thoughts on that one. You may have even had thoughts on that one. I may have just missed that podcast. Thank you so much, and look forward to all your podcasts. And thank you. Bye-bye.
That's observation, honestly, I did not consider yet.
Is he a misogynist? I mean, is that something that we've really...
Yeah.
Been able to focus on with him that he doesn't like women at all.
There's a lot of evidence pointing to that. He very much graded the papers of female students much more harshly. Comments towards women at the college that he was a teaching assistant at. In fact, some of that behavior is what actually led to him being fired from that job. We've seen some of those documents that have come out over the past several months, alleging that where the administration staff had many a sit downs, many a come to Jesus meetings with him, working on some of those specific issues. None of them actually
doesn't make him a murderer, though.
It doesn't make him a murderer, but it tells us more about his personality and his demeanor towards women. And one of the interesting things is one of the meetings that he had where they really sat down and was like, "This is your last straw," occurred the day before the crimes were committed.
Ooh.
So if there's some pent-up anger towards females, and he's been stalking these people for quite some time, that may have been the trigger. It's just speculation. If, you know, and again, he's innocent until proven guilty, but we are speculating on what possibly could have gone down there. But that is interesting to see. And in a character like this, I do wonder how much he's looking at all women in general with this sort of disdain versus women in certain roles. I could see him looking at female students, people he believes are under him, with little to no respect. Although apparently he kind of was that way with some professors as well. But I would be curious as to how he treats, you know, his defense, because yes, it is made up of women.
And he needs them.
And
so
he needs them. Yeah.
To, you know, talk down to them and not respect them. You know, it's one thing if you have a personality conflict with one of them, and maybe you need to have a different attorney, somebody that you feel like you can connect with and understands you. But if it's just because of their gender, you've got a problem on your hands.
Well, I think there's a problem already on their hands with his initial attorney, Ann Taylor, because she represented the families, the parents of some of the victims in the past, in various cases.
Well, and that's a huge conflict of interest.
Well,
so.
In on the outside to us talking here, yes, it certainly appears that way. When it comes down to being on paper, is this a conflict of interest? The answer is no. But at the end of the day, should he be found guilty? Should Ann Taylor be his lead attorney, or any attorney on this case with him involving his representation? It's grounds for appeal to a certain extent. Now, it's not the strongest grounds for appeal. You'd have to show how those relationships adversely affected the trial and the outcome of the trial. But, you know, we haven't had the trial yet. There could be things that occur. There could be, you know, arguments that are made. There could be statements that are put out there that could then be looked at that have not yet been said as, well, this is kind of showing some preference to former clients or this or that, which could completely derail the whole thing. Granted, there's not many criminal defense attorneys in Idaho that are capital qualified, which they need for this. And she is one of the best, they do say, in the area for doing this. So there's not a lot of options for him, quite honestly, without hiring, I guess, his own defense. So it will be interesting. I think a lot of us would just look at this and go, let's get somebody else in there so that option, we don't even have to contemplate this sort of thing down the road. But it looks like she will be in there for the duration of this, as of right now, anyway.
It just seems strange that they wouldn't be able to bring somebody else in from another area because of this alleged conflict of interest. Well, it just seems like this wrench in the case is going to be sitting there the entire time.
Well, the argument that's being made by the state is, yeah, we do have others, but they live a long ways away and they'd have to drive or they'd have to stay there. Like, isn't that kind of the job?
Yeah. And why couldn't they? I mean, just like jurors, they have to kind of put their lives aside for a trial. Why can't an attorney do the same? This is a very high profile case. Yeah. And if there isn't someone who can represent him that doesn't have a conflict of interest, the court has an obligation to make sure that he gets a fair and just trial.
There is another attorney involved that is qualified to handle capital cases. So he is, at the end of the day, he is being represented by some very qualified individuals. The only issue I think that we look back on, like I said, is that conflict of interest that to the public certainly looks not good. But again, on paper, it does. I've argued this with attorneys left and right for the last several months, and almost all of them say it's not a conflict of interest, but it is understandable how it appears to be that way. And just that appearance can at times, could possibly on appeals, make a difference. As much as people like to say, no, it can't, we're talking about humans making decisions here. Indeed, it possibly could. But it will be very interesting to see what happens here on the 22nd. We will have complete coverage for you. If there is courtroom audio, which as of our recording, they're saying there is, that could be redacted, seeing as there has been a lot of attention on this case and the gag orders that have been in place. I'm curious as to where those are going to be standing as of Monday, but we'll find out. We'll have all the coverage for you right here. So be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any of it here on the podcast.
Murder in the morning.
And if you want to weigh in on any of the cases, we would love to hear from you. Phone number 888-5-KILLER. 888-5-KILLER.
From the Hit Killers Podcast. Murder in the morning.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.